Turn to Genesis chapter 3. The title of the talk is Weeds. Genesis chapter 3. Just a couple of verses here. And verse 17. And unto Adam, he, being God, said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So that's basically where the weeds started. So it wasn't God's intention for there to be weeds taking over. It was because of Adam's sin that weeds were going to be a curse unto the ground. And God did not intend it that way. It was because of sin, and it's an allegory for things in the spirit, which I'll bring out later. But when I was wandering around recently, I was in the Midwest, and the Midwest is very flat, like a lot of Australia is. It's very flat, and so you don't have to get up very high in order to see far. And there was a little bit of a breakaway, and I just stood up on this breakaway. And all you see is trees. It's all, as far as the eye can see, you just see trees. And you have this sense of eternity, I guess, or infinite, the infinite, because all around you just see this canopy of, they're only small trees, and it looks uniform, it looks beautiful, and like clean and fresh. It's all the same. And every now and again, there might be a bit of breakaway or a hill, but what you don't see when you get down off that little rise and walk amongst the trees or drive or whatever, in amongst that are things that aren't so good. There's rubbish. You know, people have come by, and there's tin cans or plastic containers. There's even, I suppose, like man-made, there's houses here and there that weren't created by God, of course, little things in the way. But then also what you don't see is there's a great highway that goes right through the middle. So when you stand up and you look at this thing, you miss out on that finer detail at the when you're walking around. And I liken this to like the assembly. The assembly has been created by God. He put a lot of effort in through the Spirit. So as a whole, the assembly is beautiful. It's the bride of Christ. It will be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. I mean, to be the bride of the Son of God has got to be an amazing thing, a beautiful thing as a whole. But then when you get down to the individual thing, there are little things that creep into people's lives and that aren't meant to be there. It wasn't God's intention. And these are likened to weeds. So we've got this great, paddock of wheat and so forth, and in amongst it there's these weeds and things that aren't meant to be there, as it started out here. So Mark chapter 4. It's the way it is. The scriptures say that's the way it is, so it's the way it is. It's like the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit is beautiful and as a whole, but then there's the flesh, and so there's this constant, jostling between the two. But we want the spirit to win, be on top. So Mark chapter 4. Did I say Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4. Just a couple of verses here. It's the parable of the sower and the seed, but I'll just bring out the ones that are important. Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, hearken, behold. That's quite a start, isn't it? The Lord wants us to hearken and behold. There went out a sower to sow. Verse 7, and some of this seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 18, this is an explanation. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So, of course, there's a people where the seed is spread out. But then there are these cares of the world, the weeds that come in that end up choking those people, and they become unfruitful. I was pulling out a couple of weeds in my backyard. It's all right, I do a little bit of gardening. It was the three corner jacks, so I really don't like them. And if you're not on top of it, weeds quickly take over. You've got to be onto it, otherwise they just take over, and it's the same. Here, the deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things entering in, if you're not onto it and pulling them out and being active, they just take over. And before you know it, become unfruitful and, you know, fall away. We've seen people that way. These weeds get in there and just choke everything up. Matthew chapter 13. A bit of reading here. So as we read through this, it's again about good seed and bad seed. But I want you to think as I'm reading through it that the bad seed, like, could also apply to, oh, sorry, the seed, good seed and bad seed, could apply to, you know, like the words we speak. You know, we speak words, some are good fruit, some are bad fruit. The things we do, are good and bad. The habits we have, and also influences in our lives, they can be good and bad. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So at the start, when we came to the Lord, there was good seed there. It was the Spirit. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So as we grow in the Lord, the things that come up, you know, our habits or influences, things we say or do. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So here's where first introduced that a way to get rid of these tares is burning. And we know we refer to trials as a fiery trial, and often we come out of trial cleaner before the Lord because some of the dross has been burnt off. It's painful, you're refined before the Lord, and so yeah, you're purer before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So here's the scripture that refers to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're very tuned in the spirit with what's of the Lord and what's of the devil, and we need to be. We need to judge what's good and bad, and what are good influences and bad influences, what are good things said and bad things said. So we judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For other foundation, apart from Jesus, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, so good things or bad things, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's important, this fire business of burning up these weeds, burning up the wood, hay and stubble, those things that aren't good to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so we allow that, the Lord refines us in that way. So the good things stay, the bad things go. And that's very important as well, not to allow the bad things to encroach too much. And I was reflecting when I was writing these scriptures out, we toddle along through life. And I remember when I first left home and I was living in this student accommodation, they'd often accuse me of being naive. because I didn't understand a lot of this worldly stuff that they were carrying on about. And it dawned on me later, sometimes it's good to be naive, just go through life and you're not sure. But and so the Lord protects us from these stuff. And I remember sometimes I'd end up in a little situation or something and I look back and think, wow, I didn't realize until later and the Lord just pulled me out. It's just things that happened around me, and I'm sure we can reflect on things like that. And the Lord protects us from those things, which is great. Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. So these verses are in a much bigger subject, but I was looking elsewhere in the Bible, and these couple of scriptures that I'm reading now really do cover what I want to bring out, but it is part of a bigger subject, which I'm not going to go into. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So like I was saying, weeds can take over. You can just have a seed, and then if it germinates into a weed, there's multitude of seeds that come from that. A little bit of leaven can leaven the whole lump. It just influences everything. That's the possibility. Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So that's important to have that mindset of sincerity and truth, because that's the unleavened bread. So the leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. And I firmly believe it is a mindset to have always, to reject those things that are of the leaven and accept the things that are of the unleavened. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I like that. We're not called to have excessive opinions of things that don't matter. Yes, we have the opinion that the Bible is God's word and the Spirit, and the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's a good opinion. But we don't get caught up in all these other opinions. I often drive along and a lot of people display their opinions on their cars now. I'm driving along, I praise the Lord, I've got nothing on my car. Just moderation, I'm just driving around. Nobody said, oh, he's got these crazy opinions, because our moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So these are the sort of mindset that the Lord wants us to have, you know, the honesty, the just, the purity. And that purity, of course, is what happens when all the dross is burnt off and the weeds are gotten rid of. And the Lord helps us get rid of the weeds if we don't get rid of them ourselves. And these things bring forth good fruit. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." So those that don't have the weeds in their heart, for they shall see God. And we want to see God, don't we? We want to be raised up. We want to be there. We're pining after that time. James chapter 1, last scripture. Just one verse here. James 1, verse 27. Pure religion. So there's that purity there, the pure religion. And undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we're in this world, there's muck thrown at us, but the pure religion is to keep us unspotted from the world. And that's why we come to meetings. I was up in Geraldton for 18 months and I travelled down once a fortnight to get to meetings. Everyone has a different walk, but for my own walk, I thought I'd be okay. But when I moved back to Perth, I was gobsmacked. I could not believe that I noticed very quickly that I had subsided spiritually. That I looked around at people that had grown in the Lord and or whatever, and I'd subsided. I could not believe. So I withdrew myself for a year to try and get back established in the Lord, and because I needed fellowship. That's my walk. Assembly fellowship, Dinkum fellowship with saints is so important in my walk, and part of that is keeping us unspotted from the world and keeping us focused. We get caught up in things in this world, whatever it is. Everyone has different things. But when we come to meetings, it keeps us aligned and focused. Ah, this is why we're here. This is what we do here on earth. And it helps us keep those weeds away, helps us, makes us available for the Lord to burn up the wood, hay and stubble so that those precious stones are pure and we have that pure religion. Okay, thanks you, Pastor Tim.